you know?
Shout out to Rick Rubin because that, and the, what's the book called? The Creative Mind.
Love that book, man. Bro. Such a good
that
book.
That book is a Bible for creatives.
I agree.
Of just, or just anybody for a way of life. Mm-hmm. And he taught me, you don't have to be perfect. Art's supposed to be messy because it's subjective. And if you don't have a perfect product, you're not supposed to, because you need to learn from your that project to get better on the next project. So I was just stuck in my mind for so long because we recorded this 7 months ago,
right?
8 months ago,
right?
You know, and it's just releasing now.
It's a process.
Because I was getting too perfectionist in my mind. I saw so many little things that people are not going to notice, but I noticed. But then it came to a point where I'm like, this is as good as it's going to get.
Right.
I need to release it and I need to learn from it to go on the next one. It's not going to be as good. This episode is brought to you by Cafe Teca. I'm not sure about you guys, but every morning when I wake up and I want to achieve some of these goals of mine, I have a nice cup of coffee. But what I like about Cafe Teca, it's environmentally friendly. This bag is made from plants. But most importantly for us creatives, they support a fully creative environment and they promote collaboration. What, does it taste good? Absolutely. It's 100% Arabica beans. Their flagship product is a Brazilian and Ethiopian blend. How can you get this? Go to cafeteca.ca, check them out, and get yourself a bag.
Welcome, everybody, to the Dreams Don't Have Deadlines podcast. And you know my name, Juice Rochester, Rochester Juice. And today we have a special episode, man. We want to talk about where we are at individually. So I got my man Marwan with me today, my partner in crime, my soldier on the battlefield, my number one ace, my hilarious friend. Yes. And we want to know, I think everybody wants to know, man, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Yeah. Thanks for that intro.
I mean, you're always doing the interviewing. You're the journalist. You keep everybody on point.
Try.
You always ask the amazing questions.
Thanks, man.
And you know, you let us in every now and then, but let's really talk, man, and see how you're doing and how's your year's been. What are the goals? What are the dreams? What are we doing over here?
Sure, man. So every day I strive to eat as much hummus as possible.
As you should.
I feel like chickpeas are a big piece of life that we should always be striving for.
They're definitely part of yours. I know that.
I always love hearing Dwayne just open cans of soda in the middle of an interview, you know?
He's a diabetic. He's fine.
He's always striving for greatness. You know, he's our director, but he usually asks you, how should I direct this?
And yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not really sure what to do with
him. He's an anti-director.
But no, yeah, man, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling alive, energized, doing a lot of things this year. I don't know, man. There's just a lot going on.
Well, let's talk comedy, man. Let's talk comedy, man. You are in the pursuit of your dream right now.
Yes, I am.
You know what I'm saying? Of taking over the world as a comedian.
We trying.
And you've been doing these monthly events, right? Yeah. That you started. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, man. So we have a monthly show called Yalla Comedy. You know, it's Yalla is basically let's go.
Yes, sir.
In Arabic. And I usually use it in every three sentences as when I'm speaking. But no, I wanted a monthly show because a lot of comics that I look up as mentors, like Keith Pedro and Nick Reynoldson, who have been on the show, they always told me that it's important to have your monthly show. It gives me an opportunity to learn how to host, create relationships with comics. But the biggest thing is to bring joy to people.
Right.
Thankfully, you know, we're on our fourth show now at 915 DuPont. Shout out to Nigel and the whole team at 915.
Great space, man. Like a real kind of hidden gem, yo.
It is,
like,
man.
You look on the outside and you're confused. You're like, if this is the right place. And then you walk under that little curtain that they have there.
You
bow when you walk in, and all of a sudden you're in, you know, some small Japanese town or something like that.
It makes you feel like you're in Japan. It's like a very speakeasy vibe style.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But what we're looking for is, you know, when I kept on going to Montreal,
right?
Montreal has a very social environment, a very like cozy, you feel comfortable, but it's also very unorthodox on the type of venues that you go to. So I wanted to bring that vibe in Toronto, and thank God for 915 DuPont. Shout out Shadell for leading us there.
Yeah.
And this week we've got another event, but this one is special because we are celebrating the release of my first album.
Yes, man, come on, bro. Come on.
Big things, man.
I went to both shows. That's how you know, man. I love you, bro.
Yeah, you did.
I was at both shows. They tried to kick me out, but I wouldn't let them.
No, you you would not leave, and I appreciate you being there. It was a very nerve-wracking night.
Yeah.
The first show went amazing.
Yeah.
Second show was like me just trying new things and maybe a little too serious at times. I kind of got in my feelings.
Yeah.
But no, Dwayne was there shooting it. I'm excited, man. I'm excited because it's a video special as well as an audio album.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be, I think it was 38 minutes to be exact.
Love it.
Everybody thought I was crazy. Because
I know, because you're a fairly new comedian and you're like, I'm doing my own special.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm getting it done. I don't care if this is the first time. I'm starting somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. Less than a year into comedy, I recorded that special.
Wow.
So it was actually 2 years before my week anniversary, my 1 year anniversary.
Why were you so adamant of getting a special done so early in your career?
I wanted to close this chapter of my life.
Yes.
And I needed an outlet.
Yes.
Almost like a therapeutical kind of outlet. I also, you know, when we were talking about Janelle Peterson here, the therapist.
Yes. Great episode.
Great episode, the mental health clinician. You should definitely check out that episode.
Mm-hmm.
But I was talking to her about this thing that kept on sticking to my head, which was, if this is the last day on earth that you're in, you know, what did you leave behind? And I was going through this journey of being in the entertainment industry at Block Trade, working in the record label industry, really just looking at you kind of just grow as an artist. And I felt like ever since I was a kid, there was, you know, I was in love with the camera. I was in love with storytelling. That's why I like journalism so much and this podcast to learn people's stories. But I didn't have a way of telling my story. And when I started going to a comedy club 2 years ago, almost, when I was looking at the stage at the Corner Comedy Club, I was like, wow, I can do that. You know, I can go in front of a mic. I have a way of storytelling, but I can make it in a funny way.
Yeah.
And I want to come back to this place and I want to record my first special. And I already had the chapters in my life that I wanted to talk about. I just didn't know how to go about it. So I was like, you know what? I don't care.
Yeah.
I want to do this. In less than in my first year, I want to record an album and I want to release it ASAP. So if, God forbid, something happens or whatever the case may be, I left a piece of me behind. And I just felt like the sense of urgency. You have to do this. You have to record this. Doesn't matter how it comes out, but at least you did it.
Yeah.
Move it out of the way and move on to the next step.
There's something to be said about that, honestly, man. Like I completely feel you on that, because life is short, yo. You know, tomorrow's never promised. And, and although dreams don't have deadlines, if you have an opportunity and a chance to kind of make things happen at any way you can, I think there's something to be said about getting over that fear or anxiety or just nervousness of, you know, of being a new person in this space, but willing to go all the way out for it, you know? That's like artists putting on their own shows earlier in their careers, knowing that they can't sell out Rogers Center, but, you know, like, you're, it shows that you're willing to double down on the things that you love.
Yeah,
you know?
100%.
Go ahead.
Sorry, no.
Oh, I was going to say, like, and that just, that builds a trust within yourself. And I was talking about this the other day, too, like, how important it is to have a trust with yourself. And when you say things and don't do them, you break those trusts. Like, even if it's small things, like, yo, I'm going to brush my teeth this morning. Oh, I didn't get around to doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I said I was going to eat healthy this morning and I didn't do it. And subliminally, you start losing that trust. So to do like a big event like that, to lock in and say, no matter what, I don't care the situation, I'm making this happen, builds that trust and that confidence to say, yo, I'm this is it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, no, you're absolutely right. It builds trust and the way you're able to execute. Yo, Dwayne.
Wow.
We got to talk about Dwayne Graham real quick, okay? Because this guy will open
it's
cans of soda.
Yo.
He'll watch some social media videos. You'll listen to Dave East go popping off on his phone randomly.
I think it's because you had him in that editing chair for so long making this video. He's
yo, shout out Dwayne. Shout out Dwayne because he did spend like probably 10 to 15 different revisions before we were able to lock this this in. But back to what you're saying, absolutely, it does build trust and confidence in your ability to execute. I definitely think a lot of people thought I was crazy because I would see comics, and not to say it's wrong for them to do this, but they're in the game 10-15 years,
yeah,
still waiting for that moment for them to be like, hey, I'm gonna release my first special. And I thought that was crazy, to me, at least. I understand now why they do it. But I'm like, we're in an age where you can record your special and release it on YouTube.
Right.
YouTube is a global free platform, mm-hmm, where people can discover you. You know, you can release things on Spotify and iTunes. And through the record label industry, I learned that, like, wow. You know, I can, as an artist, like, I looked at you just going through like TuneCore days,
mm-hmm,
where you can make your own music, release it independently, and let it out there in the
That's
world.
Right.
And I was like, why aren't comedians looking at it from a music standpoint?
That's right.
As an artist, where you can release your stuff, your art, out there in the world, you can market yourself, buy yourself independently, and let the people judge, you know? So you can put it out there. So when I saw them and I was asking comics that are 10 years in, I'm like, yo, when are you gonna make your first special? And they're like, you know, I'm still waiting for that break. I'm still waiting for HBO, Netflix,
yeah,
or CTV, or
right,
now Crave, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And I'm like, but what if that doesn't happen for another 5 to 10 years?
Right.
You gonna wait another 5 to 10? Man, I don't got the luxury of waiting. I need to do this now. And I remember talking to a few comics about it, and they're like, are you sure, Marwan, you want to release this special? Because you just started, buddy, you know? And I understand what they're saying.
Right.
It takes years to form your art, and
mm-hmm,
the way you tell storytelling and the way you make it into a good joke. But time is not a luxury that we have anymore.
I look at it like this isn't your only special.
No.
It's your first special.
My first.
You know what I'm saying? And we all have to start somewhere,
mm-hmm,
you know? And maybe 10 years from now, when you're looking back in this special, you'll see the distance you've covered from the first one until now, man. And then you'll find joy in these other jokes or that time of life that you did or that passion that you had, that trust that you built with yourself.
Yeah.
And you look back and you smile and be like, yo, I did this, man.
100%.
You know?
100%.
So it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
We talk about this a lot too, man. Just like, not, don't be hindered by perfection. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, don't be scared because you don't have every angle covered. That's why you shouldn't do it, you
mm-hmm
know? If you're passionate about something, if you're willing to go the distance for it, you should. You should,
yeah,
man. And not everything's going to be perfect, but it's got to be yours, you yeah know?
Shout out to Rick Rubin, mm-hmm, because that, and the, what's the book called?
The Creative Mind. Love that book, man.
Oh.
Such a good
that
book.
That book is a Bible for creatives.
I agree.
Of just, or just anybody for a way of life. Because
mm-hmm
one thing he taught me in that book is like, you don't have to be perfect.
Right.
Art is not supposed to be perfect.
It's not.
It's supposed to be messy. It's supposed to be your own way. It's supposed to have mistakes because you have something to learn from. Three times, Dwayne. Three times. It's not even 10 minutes, fam.
Wow.
Oh, you're going to blame it on that.
Oh, it's the watch. Go sit in the corner.
Okay, let's repeat that.
Yeah.
So, shout out Rick Rubin.
Shout out Rick Rubin, man.
The Creative Way?
Mind.
The Creative Mind.
Yeah,
his
great book.
Great book. It's a Bible for just creatives in general on how to live your life the best way you can. And he taught me you don't have to be perfect. Art's supposed to be messy because it's subjective. And if you don't have a perfect product, you're not supposed to, because you need to learn from your that project to get better on the next project. So I was just stuck in my mind for so long, because we recorded this 7 months ago,
right?
8 months ago,
right?
You know, and it's just releasing now.
It's a process,
because I was getting too perfectionist in my mind. I saw so many little things that people are not gonna notice, but I noticed. But then it came to a point where I'm like, this is as good as it's gonna get.
Right.
I need to release it, and I need to learn from it to go on the next one. It's not gonna be as good. You know, like, I showed it to my parents, and I thought...
Yo, shout out to you for doing that, because you are braver than a lot of people I know at Jane and Finch Show. Because, like, I would... Yo, there's some jokes in there that I don't.
I was
my mother
cringing.
Would look at me differently.
I was cringing when my mom was listening to my porn website.
Right.
You know, yeah. Watch the special. You'll
watch
America.
It. You'll understand.
You know, I was like, I need to show this to my family so they can see what art that I'm making and leaving behind.
Yeah.
And I thought I was gonna get a different reaction, but it was an honest reaction. You know, like my sister, her first answer was like thumbs up. You look very white. I'm like, thanks, Mona. I'll work on my tanning, and we'll work on the camera angle so they can see that I'm brown. My dad was like clapping. He's like, so you lie on stage.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I do. That's comedy. And then thirdly, my mom was like, Marwan, you need more content. I was like, Thanks, Mom. But that is their way of showing love and support.
Right.
You know, they watched it. I'm like, I felt like my job was done.
Right.
I made this. I showed it to my family. It's going to go out there in the world. We're going to celebrate the release. And hopefully this is a foundation that I can build on for the next step.
I agree. Who would you dedicate this special to?
Myself, for sure. Because growing up in Virginia was a very interesting experience. But most importantly, definitely my family and friends.
Right.
Because without them, this wouldn't be possible. I didn't think I could go on stage. And, you know, the first time I went on stage was for my birthday.
That's right.
And 2021, and I surprised my friends on a private show.
Yeah.
I blacked out when I went on stage. I don't remember how it went in real life, but I saw the footage after. And without my friends and my family's support, I wouldn't be courageous enough to go for it. So this is for them.
Who, like, for all the comedians that are, like we talked about, 10 years in, maybe they haven't had their special, is there some advice through the process? Like, let's talk about the after production process of kind of making it happen, the post-production.
Yeah, I would say don't think you need a huge production company behind you. Mm-hmm. Don't think you need a comedy record label behind you. I think a lot of comics... they need to study the music industry because the music industry has figured out how to do it independently. Comedy has just started. Like, you have figures like Andrew Schultz, for example, that are doing an amazing job to do it independently, partnering up with big media companies to release his special independently. Look at those guys, because what they figured out is that they don't need the big, you know, in the music industry, you think you need Universal, Warner, Sony, etc. But all you need is TuneCore or companies like that, like DistroKid. All you need to do is record a song, figure out your buddy that has an audio engineer. You can find an audio engineer.
Come on.
Mix and master it to the way you like it. Put it on TuneCore. It's out there in the world.
That's right.
So for comics, it's like, you could do the same thing with comedy. You know, you can rent out your own venue, fill up those spaces. When you figured out a good half an hour worth of content that you feel like you want to put it out, gather a team up, invest a few thousand dollars of your own money, save it up, and make your own team record it make it sound right,
yep,
and put it on TuneCore, because that's the same tools musicians use.
Yeah.
It's the same tools comedians can use. And for video production, same thing, man. You know, anybody that can make a music video can figure out how to make a comedy special as well.
Very true.
So it's like, don't think you need all these big things. You just need yourself, little Googling, little asking some questions, and figure out a team. Yeah.
Was that the biggest realization you had throughout this whole process? Or do you have one that kind of stands out of like, oh, this is a lot harder or a lot easier, or I didn't expect this to happen through this whole process. I didn't know it would take 7 months. Was there something that was like, this kind of really threw me for a loop? I didn't expect this.
Yeah, you know, I definitely understand much more better now than ever the taking of time to curate your jokes properly.
Mm.
You know, there's things that I wrote in there that could have been so much more better if I got on stage more, if I, you know, just tweaked a little thing. So I understand the art of taking your time on these jokes to figure out, you know, you're basically baking something in an oven that takes a long time for it to come out. So I learned, you know, keep practicing those jokes, even if it's by yourself, because what I was having a hard time is getting on stage, you know, because I'm a new comic. You know, in Toronto, it's a very competitive industry. You've got 300 to 400 comics probably in the city now. And COVID blew it up. So all these comedy clubs are popping up. When you go to open mics, you don't have an audience. It's usually just comics waiting for you to get off so they can get on. So you're not getting a good reception. So all that's to say is that you can practice on your own. Just because you're by yourself sometimes, or if you're not getting as much stage time, go to a rehearsal room and record yourself so you can see the tempo and how you're writing your jokes. Also travel, you know, just because Toronto isn't booking you doesn't mean another city. And that's what how I was getting shows. I would just save up my money. I would travel and I would be like, oh, I can get gigs out of town. Let me practice there. And I would come back. And the last thing is just know that it's like, it's going to be a ride, you know, just because you're not getting booked now doesn't mean you're not going to get booked later. And work on your own craft. Comedy is such a huge universe on its own. You could do stand up, you could do writing, you could act, you could be on radio, you could podcast. There's so many things that you can work out your muscle. And most importantly, create content. Create content. I'm still figuring that out, but create content.
Well, we got Threads now, so it should be okay.
Threads. Thanks. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for making me easy, buddy, so I can have a 17-digit number on my profile.
Just add it to the
now.
List, man. Jeez.
Yeah.
So what's next, man? What's next?
What's next is Yalla America will be available on all platforms, so definitely check that out. Pop, pop. That's like a scissors kind of thing.
Yeah, sorry, no worries. It's a different type.
That's as un-Jamaican as you can get.
I'm a dad now. I just do scissors.
I see that. I see that. And the next thing is to, I want to travel more, get on more shows, but I'm already writing my next album. So this one's going to be dedicated to Toronto. And it's going to take some time. But I'm going to be working on that and acting. You know?
We've been talking about this, man.
I'm working with a great film director from Toronto, Mark Corliss. And we're going to be doing a small little short independent film. Again, do it yourself. That's another big piece of advice. Just do it yourself.
Do it yourself. Don't wait.
Every time I'm applying for casting people and they're like, where's your reel, Marwan? I'm like, I don't got one, fam. I'm just trying to figure out. And they're like, well, you got to get a reel. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna invest in my own independent film, and that's gonna be my reel.
Yeah, which is smart, man.
Do it yourself. So that's kind
of
what I'm focused on.
Take control of everything. I love it. I love it, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
For sharing the story. I'll be right there beside you, obviously, whenever you need me. I will see you at the special coming up.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, and we're just going to keep this thing going because dreams don't have deadlines.
Dreams don't have deadlines, baby. Shout out to Dwayne for all the extra noises in the background. Love you, buddy.
Pop, pop.
Pop, pop. Work hard and I handle my business. Look up in the sky, whole squad, let's get it. No limit, no.